Sassy Debbie, and I'm joining you with the Goddess Guided Show. Oh my goodness, I forgot my language today already, and the show just started. Hi, everybody. This is the Goddess Guided Show. Naki Alayo is my co-host. Say hey, Naki.
Hello, everybody. Did you miss us for the month of July? We certainly missed you. July was very interesting for me. I had a nice birthday. Well, it was just a lot of changes, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of emotions. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you think about all the planetary action.
I mean,
shocking. Six planets in retrograde at one time. What was it? A lunar eclipse. I mean, come on. Just super full moon. I mean, everything you could think of just about happened planetarily in July, and it just happened to be the month that we were born. And I laugh at that because I don't know about you, but I'm going through some major changes. They are blowing my mind. They're good, but they are so, they're happening so quickly and so, all of them don't feel good. I think the worst of the not so feeling good part is over. I'm getting to the feel good part now, and I'm so excited about that. but it's been a wild. It's been a wild month, Sakti. It's been a wild month, but I'm so grateful to be another year older, to witness and see myself grow. I'm not where I want to be by leaps and bounds, but I'm so glad I'm not where I used to be. And so I give thanks. I give thanks for every change, every hoop, every tear, every shadow side that I had to face alone. You know, every new healing modality I was introduced to as a result of it, and the exponential healing that I've been able to do on myself and with a few healer friends that I trust. And it's just been a wild ride. And so I'm happy. I'm good. So enough about me. How was your month, Sassy? How was your birthday? How did you celebrate?
You know, it was a total chill time. I have to say this year, for a few years, I'll back up a little bit. For a few years, I have regretted every birthday. I'm like, oh, I'm getting older. Oh, my goodness. Not another year. I won't celebrate. I don't care, you know. And my family, God bless them, they would always come out with a cake and, you know, some kind of celebration. But this year was chill. You know, I didn't try to, you know how you try to do everything on the day of your birthday? You're like, okay, I got to do this. I got to do that. I said, no, I'm just going to do something chill. I went and visited a rose garden in my local area, and that was just very beautiful. They had all these beautiful roses. I took pictures and put them up on Facebook and Instagram and stuff. And I went out to the movies with a friend. Actually, she does my hair. And we went out, had a good time, and we ate at a restaurant afterwards. You know, it was just a really good month. It was a good month of resting. There was some intensity, but it was more of a schedule. In the last week, I attended an online, a live streaming spiritual workshop, and that was very intense with all the energies, and it was actually quite mind-blowing towards the end. Like, I now am at a point where I know, how can I put it, that things happen more rapidly and that I'm not alone. Like, I don't have to do things alone. I've always felt like I had to do things alone. I have to do my business. I have to do this. I have to achieve this goal, that goal. But I'm doing this all by myself. So after this workshop that I, this three-day live stream, spiritual online event, it just blew the roof off. I mean, it was just like, no, there are beings all around. You know, I can call on whomever I can call on, and I get help, you know, with whatever's going on. And it happens quickly, which is so weird. Yeah. And, you know, some people say, hey, that's great. I'll just go out and let me pray for the lotto numbers and stuff like that. And, you know, that's good. I'm not saying I won't do that at some point. But I'm really focused on, I've also found the month of July to help me to be clear about what my path is. And now that I'm much more clear about where my path is, I've been in a very kind of hazy, you know, space for the past few years because, you know, I got, as you know, I got a PhD in linguistics, and when I came out with my degree, that's when the economy went down, and then so did a lot of the jobs that were out there as professors, and yeah, then I realized this is not the path I really wanted to take anyway. And then it's just been hazy, you know, with caring for my dad as, you know, he was ailing, and then as he was ill, and then, you know, eventually passed away last year. I just didn't know what I wanted to do. So now I know what I want to do. So I'm like, I'm clear. I'm like, yes, this is where I'm going. So I've, you know, got
I had
clarity
those moments
on that.
Yeah, I understand.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah.
I got some clarity on my purpose. I learned some beautiful healing modalities that I've incorporated into my spiritual ritual work and my practice. I have learned things about myself that I didn't know, and I've uncovered some things. And, you know, through all of the changes and the ups and downs, I will say that meditation and the healing modalities that I've recently learned have really kept me kind of grounded and centered through it all. I haven't, like, I mean, of course I've had those emotional days, but I didn't flip out. I didn't, you know. And, you know, we're cancers. We can, you know, we can flip out if we need to. We try not to. We try to keep it refined and cute, but there are moments. They are rare, but there are moments where we just, you know. And so I'm grateful that I didn't have any of those moments through it all, that I rode the wave. And I'm, like I said, I'm so much clearer now on my purpose, my passion. Things are coming to me. Like synchronicity, like crazy. I would say something. I would say, I'd like that, or I'd like to have that. Or I've been really practicing aligning and allowing. That's kind of my mantra for lately, Shakti.
That's
aligning
powerful.
And allowing. Yeah, you know, I talk a lot about the law of attraction because I've really found it to be powerful in my life. The asking, the believing, and the receiving process. Of course, that's the easy version of it. A little bit more to it than that because you got to incorporate your feelings and you got to visualize it. And those are a little bit more than that. But even beyond that, after you ask, after you believe, after you receive, or to get to the receiving part, rather, you have to align with the thing that you want, which is you have to become a vibrational match. An energetic match. I think this show is taking its own turn, Shakti. What do you think?
Just keep talking, girl. This is good.
Okay. Well, hey, let's do it.
Let's just go with the flow. You never know what the goddess is going to bring, right?
And that's one of the things about it, being open to the flow, not having a script, but saying, here I am, I'm available to be used, and you are able to flow through me.
You know, Nucky, could I add something? I'm sorry, you said something really powerful. I'm available to be used. And, you know, it just reminded me of how, you know, in my spiritual path, how I had to develop trust in that. And a lot of times it's hard to do that and make that leap. I don't know what your experiences have been, but if you can expound on that, that would be great because that's a trust issue. And that's, you know, when you allow yourself, allow the goddess to come in and guide your life. Can you speak about that?
I'd love to. Aligning and allowing. Now, well, I just talked a little bit about aligning. That means become an energetic vibration to the thing you want. For example, you could say, let's pick a car. There's something easy. Everybody can visualize the car real quick. See the car you've got on your vision board. Okay, go with me. Let's pick this red Porsche, all right? You want this red Porsche badly. You want it. You got it up on your vision board. You really want it. But your conversation, your heavenly creative language to the creative forces that be is, I can't afford that. Ooh, the insurance on that Porsche is going to kill me. It's going to it's going to bankrupt me. They're not the safest cars. You know, I might not need to get it because it's not really safe. And so, maybe I should reconsider. Oh, my goodness, the car payments a month? Ah, am I going to be able to really do? So that's your conversation.
Right.
But yet it's deep inside you that you want it. Now, here's what happens. You're sending mixed signals to the universe. So mm-hmm. one moment you got it up on your vision board and it's right there. You see yourself driving down the road and it's hair blowing in the wind. There, you're there. But your conversation or your actions are that of lack and that mm-hmm. of not enough, and that you can't really draw this material thing to your life. Now, that's what we mean by when we say aligning and allowing. You're not aligned mm-hmm. to it. Now, the allowing process is to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, and even when you don't know, you fake it till you make it. But you know that everything in the created universe is conspiring, is desiring, is ready to assist you in receiving your good. Now, that takes some inner work, Shakti, because you have to know this on a deep level. You can't just, theoretically speak some law of attraction 101, Abraham Hicks stuff. No, I mean, that'll get you there, right? That'll get you there. But you got to know it. And what I mean by knowing it is there's a strengthened root chakra statement that you can say and you feel it. I am safe and divinely provided and protected at all times. And so divinely provided for and protected at all times. And if you say that and you say that enough, then you'll start to resonate with that, because that reminds you that you have nothing to worry about. You have nothing to fear but lack of fear itself. Because mm-hmm. we're all supported. The universe is plentiful. There is more than enough to go around. Mm-hmm. You never have to worry about running out or, not feeling like your desires are too lofty, and so you need to think small so that you can conserve and make sure that everybody, there's plenty. There is plenty. It's just how much do you want? It's just how much can you unlock?
Or that you're possibly taking from someone else. I know sometimes people have that thought too.
No, you're not taking. They get what they get when they align with what they want. How can you take from somebody else? You have no idea what they want. You're not taking from anything but the plentiful, abundant universe. And it's not really a take. It's an aligning.
Yes.
It's a connecting with the connective force. And you can do that a myriad of ways. Meditation, journaling, chanting, ritual work. You can connect in yoga. It's so many ways to connect. Find your niche and do it. But connecting, I like to use the analogy of a vacuum cleaner and an outlet. I have a great vacuum cleaner. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great vacuum cleaner. It's cute. It's purple, my favorite color. It's so, love my little vacuum cleaner. Well, it's useless. It's useless, Shakti, if mm-hmm. I don't connect the vacuum cleaner to the power source. If the vacuum cleaner is not connected to the power source, it is just a cute vacuum cleaner sitting in the closet. But when mm-hmm. I pull it out and I plug it in to the mm-hmm. power source, that's when the magic happens. That's when my engine is turned on. I'm able to get power. I'm able to access my divinity and co-create, join forces with the spirit, join forces with the universe, and create the life of my dreams.
Wow.
And that's what allowing is, aligning and allowing. And I've been on it so tough, Shakti, I could think something and the phone will ring. Every time I look at the clock, it's angel numbers. And I don't know how many people buy into the synchronicity of angel numbers. For example, 1111, which is actually an energetic gateway portal. You see that a lot. 222-333-444-555. They all mean significant things. And I declare, Shakti, the entire month of July, I saw 222 or 1111 or 333 or 444 or 555. I saw those at least 2 or 3 times a day. It was bizarre. It was bizarre.
Wow.
Or I would say something and it would happen. Think about somebody and they would text and call. And we talk it instantly. And I was like, woo, this is kind of interesting. But I've been working with some higher forms of meditation and really doing some clearing, energetic clearing and healing work. And so I'm really tuning in to the higher frequencies that are available to us right now. The fifth dimensional frequencies are available if we but tap in, if we but connect. They are available. And so it's kind of cool, Shafi. It's kind of mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it is. It really, really is.
It really is funny. Oh, can I tell you one thing that happened? This was after the online workshop I was on. Talk about, you know, being in the flow. I was trying to do some work, which involves downloading and uploading videos and blah, 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 right? And my computer kept freezing. Like, I'd get started, and it would lock up and freeze. I couldn't even get the task manager to pop up, so I had to do a hard reboot. So I did that 2 times. And on the 3rd time, something came to me and said, you know, we're in Mercury retrograde. And I was like, oh, okay. So because I'm a person who's into Sanskrit mantras, I chanted the mantra for Mercury just once. And my computer snapped right out of being frozen. Just like that.
Alignment.
I was like, oh, my God.
Alignment.
It works.
That's
an
example of alignment, Shakti. Absolutely.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
You decided to align with the energies and the powers that be. So by chanting that mantra for Mercury, you were saying to Mercury, I honor you and all your splendor. Even though you're traveling backwards right now, I honor you.
Right.
Right? Even though you're jacking up left now, I honor you, Mercury.
Yeah.
I honor you. And I give thanks for what you do for us in the form of communication, travel, technology, right? These are all things
that are
governed by Mercury. So I give thanks to you. And that's what you did when you stopped and chanted that mantra. That's called aligning, Shakti. Boom.
Yep. Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, you know, a lot of what you've talked about in terms of being in alignment, I love the example of the Porsche car that you were talking about, red Porsche, because it just popped into my mind, a car.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, let's talk about a car. So it reminds me of, you know, a lot of what you're talking about in terms of what people want to create in their lives. Usually it's something material, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know. And it brings us to our topic about the material world, which is the world in which we live in right now. We're on planet Earth, or terra firma, as some people will call it. And our focus today was going to be on Mother Earth and who is she and some of the forms in which she appears in different cultures around the world. So did you want to start us off with that?
Sure.
Are you okay?
Yes.
Kind of scared me. You're like, sure.
No, I was still buzzing from our. You just kind of swooped that on in there. I was still buzzing.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No,
I you were segueing. Okay.
No.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about what you want to talk about.
No, we are just fine. No, we are so good. Okay. Yes, we're talking about the forms of the Earth goddess, okay? So this series, Shakti, we're going to introduce the goddess as the element, or the elements as goddess, or in elemental form, if you will. So we're going to talk about Earth, air, water, fire, and eventually we'll get to, you know, all of the elementals. So the first goddess I'd like to talk about, we're going to talk about Gaia. Now, Gaia is the primordial Mother Earth in the Greek pantheon, okay?
Mm-hmm.
she was the deity who governed the universe before the Titans existed. Some accounts say that she gave birth to the Titans. All right. So in the creation myth, according to the Greeks, chaos came before everything else. Right. So he was supposedly made out of void, mass, darkness, kind of in confusion. And then Earth, in the form of Gaia, came to existence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's from Mother Earth that the heavens sprang. And they sprang in the shape of the sky god Uranus. And then from Gaia also came the mountains, the plains, the seas, the rivers, and everything that makes up the Earth as we know it today. So all of the nature's body. Nature's energetic, all of our nature is friends. Okay. So we could take it a little further and talk about what Gaia was in the form of Homeric poems. She was always depicted as a divine being. The black sheep were always sacrificed to Mother Gaia. And people would just one of her offerings in the Greek pantheon, a black sheep. And people were declaring sacred oaths to her. So, you know, people tickle me. They think the green movement and the echo movement is new. It's not new. People have been declaring oaths to Mother Gaia to preserve her and to honor her for centuries. And so I find that so cool that, you know, it all circles back. There's nothing new under the sun, right? All right.
Right.
So, let's see. Did I want to talk anything else about Gaia? Other versions show Gaia as the great mother of all creation. The heavenly gods were descended from her union with Uranus, which was considered the sky at that time. The sea gods from her union with Pontos, the sea. The giants from her mating with Tartarus, the pit. And mortal creatures born from her earthly flesh. Okay. In ancient Greek cosmology, the earth was believed to be a flat disk, encircled by the river and encompassed by the heavens on one side and then Tartarus on the other side. If you can envision this. She was always a full-figured woman. That's what I like to say, too. Gaia is voluptuous. Gaia would not be an America's Next Top Model. She wouldn't be.
Right.
She would be voluptuous, full breasts, full hips, nice booty. She wouldn't be America's Next Top Model. She would be the symbol of womanliness, in my opinion. And apparently, in ancient civilization. Right, throughout, right, abundance, right. Here's a fun fact about Gaia. Just looking through my notes here. She was renamed by the Romans as Terra, T-E-R-R-A. Now, I understand that Terra also means earth.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
She was renamed by them as Terra, T-E-R-R-A. That's Mother Gaia from the Greeks' perspective. Beautiful, loving energy. There's been times when I've been able to, you know, I'm a city girl, so I don't get a chance to do a lot of ritual. I don't get a chance to do a lot of ritual outside, but I was visiting some friends who at the time lived in an RV, and so we got a chance to do this fantastic full moon outside. And let me tell you, my whole body, full moon ritual outside, and my whole body was electrified. And I know my whole body was tingling for hours after that. But I had a deep connection with Mother Gaia because I'd never get to be outside because I was a city girl. So rural RV parkish, lots of trees. If you can imagine, you know, this. So it was so cool. And I really enjoyed that. So I have a deep connection with Mother Earth in her many forms, mm-hmm. whether her name be Gaia or whether her name be the next beautiful goddess we're going to talk about. And I have to look my notes up again because I don't know how to pronounce her name. Okay. It's interesting. Her name is Ngai, Ngai, the creator and giver of all things.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Now that's the father. The mother, the consort for him,
mm-hmm.
would be, and I love this. Let me find it again. Because I'm, let me find it. Where is it? hold on. Oh no. I love you, Mercury. What's that mantra, Shaki?
Om Buddhaya Namaha.
Yes. Om Buddhaya Namaha. Okay.
Well, if you don't mind, while you're searching for it again.
Yes.
I wanted to add something in there, if you don't mind, and connecting it to what we're talking about in the beginning of the show, and that is how Mother Earth is abundant, and she gives to everyone, right? Without Mother Earth, we wouldn't be here. We couldn't be here, you know?
Right.
She gives us everything that we need. If we need food, it grows from the ground or, you know, comes in terms of fruits and vegetables and things of that nature. We need air to breathe. She provides that for us. When we need to make ourselves warm and need heat, well, usually we have to kind of, you know, put things together and, you know, make it. But fire is also a part of it. And sometimes even fire just happens naturally, like if a lightning strike hits something, you know, sometimes that can spark a fire. When we need to bathe or maybe soak in, you know, they have these springs and stuff in different places. You know, she provides water for us. So Mother Nature, or, well, not just Mother Nature, but the goddess, the earth goddess, provides everything and all that we need. There are herbal medicines. You know, most of the medicines that are, well, except for the man-made ones, a lot of the medicines come from some kind of chemical or some kind of part of a plant. Everything that we could possibly need to, you know, from the major diseases to minor issues, inflammation, all of that comes from Mother Earth. And she supplies it all abundantly to everyone. And then there have been some traditions where, in terms of learning how to grow plants and which herbs do you use, you know, that was taught by Mother Earth, you know, to the people. So I just wanted to add that's all a part of the abundance. And, you know, when we're talking about trusting to be used by the energy of the goddess, especially the Earth Mother, she gives to everyone. There's plenty for everyone. And we all talked about how if, you know, with all the people that are on this planet right now, every person, really there shouldn't be any people who are starving. That's more of a political issue and, you know, historical and, you know, all group tensions and things of that nature.
I agree.
Everybody could eat. They could eat probably 2 or 3 meals a day. If we just, you know, we live from the earth. I mean, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to add that in while you were looking for your thing. Were you able to find it?
I found it. I'm so sorry. See, that's it. The mantra helped us. Thank you.
I'm
really thrilled to announce this goddess because it's so beautiful to me, and I didn't even know it until I started researching for this show. Ancient Sumerian, the earliest Sumerian earth goddess, her name is Ki, K-I. And my sweet partner calls me Ki, K-I. My name is not Ki. And she just sometimes calls me Ki. And I thought that was so beautiful because I'm a water sign. But it's interesting to me that I connect with the energies of earth and fire more. Now, I love going to the beach. It's so healing for me. But in my spiritual practices, I find that I work with candles a lot. I find that I work with crystals and herbs and oils, all of that, that's earth. Mm-hmm. I work with that a lot. I work with incense a lot, air. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I get it and sage. So I get a chance to really feel the elements of the earth. And it's an integral part of my spiritual journey. And I really love it. So to have an ancient Sumerian goddess named Ki is awesome. There's also another Sumerian goddess named Damkina. And she's an earth mother goddess, also known as Damgaluna. And these are goddesses that I was not able to find a lot about. But they are, I did find a little bit. So let me pull up the what I found on them, Kina.
You able to find it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. So,
later.
Okay. Here we come. All right. Yes. So I found the creation story of Sumeria, and I think that's very interesting to see how these goddesses became Earth.
Okay.
All right. So the Sumerians believed that the first thing that existed was the primordial sea. This was associated with the goddess Namu, beautiful name, from which emerged the heavens, On, A-N, and then the earth, we don't discuss it. And they united as though they were a large mountain in the midst of the sea. An and Ki produced within or between them in Leo, which was air, and as the air began to stir darkness within the mountain, that's what separated the sky and the earth.
You know what that sounds like?
It, Yeah.
Ancient Egypt had the same kind of notion about separating the earth and the sky. But go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fascinated.
Okay. Right. Right. Okay. And so then they wanted to see better. So Enlil, air, begot the moon god Nana, who in turn begot the sun god Utu, presumably to make the light brighter. By this time, the world had come into being. For the sky, on by expansion of air, Enlil had reached a great height, and Ki, the earth, had made a solid floor below with sun and moon to bring the light. So when air moved above the earth, or when Enlil united with his mother Ki and received the aid of water in Ki, plants and animals came into being. And then finally, man was created by the joint efforts of Namu, the primeval sea, and Nuerta, Mother Earth. Okay? So you got Creator Earth, and this Creator Earth Goddess, and then Mother Earth Goddess. So then Nuerta is Mother Earth Goddess, and then Enki is the Water God. So I thought that was a beautiful story of how, A, they all connected. You know, you see this god connected with this goddess, or this force connected with this force to create another force. And then you see them go. So I just see, I love to find the mythology because I can see the beauty in it. And it really anchors you in the notion that whether you're the most devout of Buddhist or Muslim or Christian to the atheist or the agnostic, or you have to contend for some force of intelligence greater than human capability. You have to contend for that. And that's what I love about the stories of mythology and history and religion, because they give you this frame of reference from which to believe or to expand your thought processes around those types of things. I think it's so cool. I really do.
It is. And you know, I would even say that if you think about the Big Bang Theory, about how the universe got started, You know, even with the Big Bang Theory, there was nothing that was there. There was like, it's like a primordial existence. There was darkness. You didn't have planets and the galaxies and universes and things of that nature. Then all of a sudden, boom, and things went a-flying, you know, and planets were made and solar systems and stars and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, all of a lot of these mythologies point to the same thing, but they're told in different ways, right? You know, not to say that the Big Bang Theory is the answer to everything, but just connecting that science, you know, astronomy, physics, and things of that nature all tie into the ancient teachings, you know, that cultures have known and believed for ages on end, you know. Do you mind if I provide another Earth goddess our show today? So some people in the, the New Age areas might be familiar with Pachamama. And they might be familiar because she's been in some of the, tarot cards that focus on goddesses and things of that nature. Pachamama is a goddess who is revered by indigenous peoples of the Andes. And she actually reaches far back into Incas, into the, you know, the ancient Incas people, and she's a part of their mythology. So she's seen as a fertility goddess, you know, a goddess of, you know, plants and things of that nature. But what's important to know about it is that her actual name is translated as Mother Earth, or World Mother, as they say, is the more accurate translation. So she is, other names that she has gone by is Mama Pacha or La Pachamama, yeah, and obviously Mother Earth is another one. And she's a very benevolent deity, and even though she, you know, existed during the time of the Incas and ancient times and their ancient period, she actually is still worship to this day, just in a different way, right? So for those of you who are not familiar with the Incan Empire, it's an ancient indigenous empire that existed in Central and South America. We're looking at the mostly in the Andean Mountain region, so you're talking about Bolivia, present-day Bolivia, Ecuador, Chile, Peru, and northern Argentina. Okay, so she's, you know, indigenous in that sense. The way that I think in times before, I'm not sure if they still do this today, so I don't quote me on it, but people have offered, priests to Pachamama would offer sacrifices, maybe llamas or guinea pigs. Sometimes it could be elaborate garments or things of that nature that would burn, you know, for her. You know, fire is one of those kinds of, we'll talk about fire at a later date, but fire is one of those kind of transforming things that often takes messages and blessings and prayers or whatnot to the celestial, I mean, not the celestial beings, but, you know, the divine beings, right?
Right.
And this present day, she's also even just honored in a way of a special libation where they'll pour a little bit of this particular drink on the ground and then they would, you know, drink the rest. So Pachamama is very much alive today as she was in ancient times as well. Sometimes people would bury food, throw candles, burn incense, and things of that nature. Oftentimes she's, I think in some of the New Age communities, she's seen as a goddess of the harvest, as I said before. You know, if you're an earth goddess, obviously everything that involves earth, such as trees and plants and animals and things of that nature would be associated with her as well. So she's definitely a harvest goddess. But
Can I pause you real quick? Let me stop happy llamas. Speaking of the harvest, today is llamas or lunasa, for those of you who celebrate the wheel of the year. And this is a day of harvest. So I just want to say that. Okay. Kathy, I'm so sorry for interrupting you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no, that is, actually, that is very perfect for what we're talking about for the show, right?
Yes.
To the day of harvest. Thank you so much for adding that. So, no, I don't have a whole lot more to add to that other than, today she shows up, and her worship shows up in different ways. there from Sunday parades to household rituals and things of that nature. So Pachamama is very much a not only an ancient goddess, but she's also a present-day living goddess. And that's one of the things that I love about goddesses when I hear about, well, you know, this is who they were in ancient times, and that their practice or their rituals or this honoring is still going on today. And so, and that's also happening in different forms. I'm not talking about, at this point, I'm not just talking about Pachamama. One of the things that, I don't know if you saw this, Naki, on Facebook, one of the things that popped up is there's a video that's talking about now how we are cleaning up the oceans of all the plastic and whatnot, that we're going to, that we have a deadline. I think we're going to reach this deadline a lot sooner than we thought we would. So there have been companies that have been out there. Folks, let me just put it to you this way. So one of the concerns that I have about, you know, the planet upon which we live on is the pollution that's in the air, as well as the garbage that's been literally thrown into the ocean. I mean, we have, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but we have islands of plastic and garbage in our ocean. And there's one that's off the coast of California, which is where I live. I live in that state. So it's always been a concern of ours. And, you know, a lot of people are, you know, have some anxiety about, you know, can we clean this up? Are we going to be able to do it? And there's a company out there that has created this, I don't know, machine of some sort that is actually cleaning up the plastic, and they're going to finish a lot sooner than they thought they would. So, you know, the oceans are being cleaned up. That's a bit of good news I want to spread to people, especially about Mother Earth, because that's a, that's always been something that's been on my heart. I don't know if it's been on your heart, Naki, about how much we are trashing our own home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It bothers me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the good news is that we're, you know, doing things, because here's the issue with having garbage in the ocean is that for people who eat seafood, the sea animals are going to eat that, and, you know, obviously they'll suffer, but also we eat the sea animals.
Right.
You know, it's a cycle. We're, you know, it's an ecological system. We're all a part of it. We're not separate. And, you know, unless we're going to live off of Cheetos or something, we're not separate from this. So things that happen to our animals and plants and trees when we're deforesting areas, we're getting rid of our own oxygen, and which, you know, makes absolutely no sense. But anyway, I don't want to get on my little soapbox here. But I wanted to add that just that I've been happy to hear that they're cleaning up our oceans now, because that's very – you know, that's a really real danger. You know, we're basically, cause, I mean, basically we're going to wipe ourselves out if we don't make some changes. So hopefully we'll, you know, continue to pray for the Earth Goddess to inspire us to do better, to treat her home and our home much better, and not just be like, what do you call it, partying teenagers and throwing stuff all around. I think we're kind of at that age of teenagers, just kind of, let's just party and throw all our beer cans or whatever, you know, make trash the place. So, you know, we just pray that we develop our consciousness to be more aware and be more thoughtful about, you know, keeping our place clean for everybody. Right?
Yes.
All beings.
Amen. I say a whole, and so it is. Yes.
And so it is.
I've got one more goddess to share, if that's okay, and then
please,
we can
absolutely
wrap it up after that. Okay, this is from the Ifa pantheon, and this is Oduduwa, not to be confused with Oduduwa, the male god and ancestral Yoruba king, but this is Oduduwa, spelled O-D-U-D-U-A, and then the king is spelled O-D-U-D-U-W-A. So two different entities, two different Orisha, which is what they call them. She is a beautiful earth mother figure with the skin of the deepest, darkest ebony. She is a deity who looks after women and children. She promotes love and life. However, she is certainly not soft and can become a war goddess when necessary. She's the primordial sister of the supreme sky god, Olurun, also known as Olurumare. And together they form an earth-sky bond. Sound familiar?
Yes. Yes.
I just told you about the Sumerian
god.
All right, okay. is on the Earth Sky Bond. She seems to have something to do with the essence of life, which is probably one of those essential services like running water or electricity that a large number of people use all the time without bothering to ask where it comes from. It's a joke. Although accounts differ, Oduduwa, the Yu, the female deity, seems to be married to Obatala. Their daughter is Yemoya, the queen of the Orisha. Now, let me back up. Obatala is the king of the white cloth. He is the righteousness of the Orisha. He is the wisdom. Hmm. He is the knowledge. He is the person that you go to for wise counsel and guidance.
Yes.
That's who
he's like the father in some ways.
Right. He's order. Right. Obatala is one of the guardians of my Ori, or my head, if you know anything about Ifa mythology. Okay.
Right.
So Obatala, and then their daughter is Yemoya. Yemoya is what? The mother. The mother of the ocean and deep bodies of water. Her color is blue, and she takes care of children and the fish and the like you just said, the ocean Shakti. Ecological stuff would absolutely be something that you can go to Yemoya for.
Right.
Okay. As it relates to the waste and stuff in the ocean. All right. Let's see, what else? Okay. So the area or the people of this particular pantheon would be the Yoruba people of Nigeria and Benin. And she is in charge of the earth. So I think this is a wonderful, wonderful deity. You don't hear much about her. I don't hear much about Oduduwa. You know, you hear about your Oshuns and your Yemayas and your Oguns and your Shangos, but
that's
you don't
true.
Hear much about Oduduwa. Right. But without her, where would we live? What would be our dwelling place, you see. So I really wanted to point her out because I love to talk about the goddesses who aren't mentioned anymore. It's great to talk about the mainstream pop ones, but we want to take you deeper on the Goddess Guidance Show. We want to introduce you to things that you don't know, right, rather than reiterate the stuff that you might already know.
Right.
So with that being said, we are so grateful that you tuned in. To listen to us, we thank you for checking us out on our pre-recorded shows. We understand that some people might like the live interactive shows, but Shakti is a busy lady. I'm a busy lady, and sometimes we don't get the opportunity to connect live as often as we would like to. So we hope that you're enjoying this format. I personally enjoy it. We get a chance to really get deeper and deeper with the information that we provide you, right, Shakti? We take pride in providing you quality information. Hopefully we're sharing something new with you that you can apply in your daily life or some knowledge that you could take and then further research and learn on your own. That's really what we want you to do because this is a personal journey. We're all on our own individual personal journeys. It is important that we find the thing that makes our hearts sing. So that's what we aim to do with the Goddess Guidance Show. So grateful you tuned in. Every Friday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Shakti, what are the other times?
That's it. We're coming. We have the Goddess Guidance Show every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern, which is, what is it? Is it 5 o'clock Pacific? Oh, my gosh, I can't even tell time. And then London, you guys can figure it out. So, but we really thank you, heartfully thank you so much for listening to our show. And, you know, feel free to contact us. So if you want to contact Naki, the wonderful, beautiful goddess Naki, go to psychictalk.net /Naki with an N-A-K-I. And you can find out more about her and reach her there or send an email to naki@psychictalk.net. If you want to learn a little bit more about me or get in contact with me, psychictalk.net/Shakti with an S S-H-A-K-T-I, or just email me at shakti@psychictalk.net. If you want to learn more about the shows that are coming up on Psychic Talk, please just go to psychictalk.net/upcoming, and that'll give you a list of all the shows that'll be occurring this week. So we thank you so dearly for joining our show and learning more about the goddess
Earth
of goddess. Earth. The Earth goddess. Thank
yeah.
you.
Earth goddesses.
So, thank you so much for joining our show, and that's going to be it for today. And goddess blessings to all of you, and we'll see
yeah.
you next Friday. Bye-bye.
See you next Friday. Don't forget to connect to the goddess within. Have a great week, everyone.